Okay, recently, Paul Tonko, the president of the United States, showed up at the Nanotech College here at SUNY at Albany, and I wonder what you made of that.
Well, I certainly think it's a flattering statement for the capital region, the greater capital region area. For three visits in as many years is proof positive that there's exciting news to report to the nation. And I believe it's a very strong sense of validation that the leader of our country would showcase this region and its economic comeback story as a model by which to stretch opportunity for the entire nation. The investment here in an innovation economy, an ideas economy, the emphasis on training the workforce of the future, are great feathers in the cap that enable us as a region to get great visibility and acknowledgement for really moving forward with a advanced manufacturing agenda, which I think is so important to the president. It's part of his messaging. It's part of his policy format. And I certainly embrace that as a member of the Science, Space, and Technology Committee and of the Natural Resources Committee.
Do you think he's in trouble electorally?
You know, I think these are tough times. And, of course, it's going to be a very difficult election because oftentimes we look at the instant frame that guides our vote. I think the challenge to the president is to take it back a few frames and remind the country where we started, where he started. When I arrived for my first term in 2009, in January of 2009, those were the president's first days in office. We were losing 800,000 jobs per month. We lost 8.2 million jobs with the recession. Some very poor management, I believe, by the previous administration of the nation's economy. And so he has to remind people that while we're not done with recovery, there are major efforts that he can cite that came forward successfully, stopping the bleeding of the recession with investments in the largest middle-income tax cut in the nation's history, investments in entitlement programs that enabled the regional economies to have a strong comeback almost instantly, that began the recovery, which began to spin upward. The graphing of the economics curve went upward in March of 2009 and has been, you know, moving forward ever since. So the steady climb of 26 consecutive months of private sector job growth, now approaching 4 million jobs, is a huge bit of recovery. Are we satisfied with that? Well, when you lose 8.2 million jobs, it's still not enough, but is it a move in the right direction? Absolutely. And so I think the president will, in his very, you know, strong, professional manner, will relate that message very well to the American public.
Okay, you hit on something very important. If the tree falls in the woods and nobody hears it, it didn't happen.
Right.
If the church is empty and the preacher gives his speech, nobody, it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think you speak with great passion on this, but I wonder whether anybody knows what you're talking about.
Well, you know, that's where I think he will anecdotally provide the evidence that is needed. You know, he will show people that there are these success stories like those in our region, where investing in the largest sort of investment ever for energy sake, he's looking to transition us, to transform our energy thinking, to enable us to become self-sufficient, to take the intellectual capacity of our country, and in this case of our region, and put it to work, where ideas become products, and products are then produced through advanced manufacturing. But it takes investments. And so he will talk about the road traveled by the Republicans, which would be to cut opportunity, cut our way to prosperity, which doesn't work. Every nation that is a rival nation in this global race on innovation and clean energy is partnering with its business sector. Everyone. And for these folks to deny that and continue to profess that we need to do hands-off, laissez-faire, and let the government stay out of this and let capitalism rule, that is not what's happening in other nations. And so I think he will be able to provide the contrast, which I think is important. The voters need to consider it in choice A and choice B mentality. And I think he can prove very soundly that the investments have worked, that the progress is measurable, and that the unfinished business will get done if we stay on course or will be denied if we reverse course.
Now, you indicate that we all know that in this election, the Republicans are trying to put every bad piece of economic history and news onto the president. So I ask you this. They're also now saying that the debt, this huge debt the United States has, is Obama's responsibility. He's the one who did it, they're basically saying. Is that true?
Well, you know what? I think the recession drove a lot of debt into our equation. Two wars that went forever drove a lot of debt. The Recovery Act, the president acknowledges, added to the debt, but there was no choice but to invest our way out of a recession. And now there's a plan by which he will resolve that deficit situation. He will respond to a solution for the deficit situation. The best way to resolve the deficit is to put people to work. He has a plan for that. President or Governor Romney's proposals that he offered yesterday in his speech to Iowa would grow the deficit significantly. So, you know, I think what we see here, I mean, if the Republican strategy is the one chosen by the voters this fall, I would suggest you're going to see a ballooning of the deficit. You will see cuts to programs that are meaningful to the middle class. And you will also see, I think, a lot of investments that are denied at a time when we need to compete in a robust style in this global race. Just like we were aggressive and progressive in the 60s with the global race on space and won that battle against our competitor, singular, Russia, we won that race because of a commitment we invested. Here, it's not just one nation, it's a host of nations, all of which are currently investing as partners with business in their homeland, and they're very strong competitors out there, so we have to make certain we go forward with every bit of soundness. And the last point I would make is that when it comes to the deficit, we had a bill just a few weeks ago on the floor where they wanted to further extend tax cuts for the very wealthy that would have ballooned the deficit by $46 billion. So their tax cuts to the very rich are growing debt. And if you're going to invest right now, if you're going to have some order of investment, do you invest in tax cuts for the wealthy, where there was not a trickle-down scenario at all, or would you invest in job production, investment in the workforce, investment in programs that sustain the middle class? And a thriving middle class is what's needed right now. Middle class attention is what's needed. The working class of this country needs to have the programs from education, higher education, training, retraining programs, and investment in research. Research equals jobs. So if you're going to go to advanced manufacturing, it will require an order of investment to revitalize, to retool industry, and to go forward so that we can be competitive to our strongest degree in an international race on the innovation economy.
Paul Tonko, Democrat of New York's 21st District. We love having you on. You're always very generous with us in your time, and we'll see you soon.
Thank you, Alan. Always a pleasure.